Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Jimmy Traina, joined, as always, by the Grambling brothers, Gary Grambling and Scott Grambling. Gary, of course, the managing editor of MMQB right here at SI.com. Gary, how are you?
I'm good, Jimmy.
Best bet record last week?
One in three.
All right, it happens.
It does. Not the end of the world. It does happen.
And, of course, we're here with Scott Grambling, managing editor of DRF Sports Forum. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Tough week in best bets. I was 2-4, 1-2 on sides, 1-2 on totals.
I was 1-2 with one game pending. We are taping this Monday afternoon because of the Thanksgiving holiday. We're going to go through all the games as usual, regular podcast. Nothing will be different. But we're taping this Monday afternoon. The Monday night Chiefs Rams games have not been played. I had the over in that. Still like the over. I'm not off of it. So I'm either going to be 2-2 or 1-3. So it's a big game for me.
Or 1-2-1. No, it was a half number, right?
Right.
It was a half.
And I will be having the over in real life as well tonight. So for this podcast, though, we're going to focus on week 12 in the NFL. We're going to give you the Thanksgiving games and then go through the Sunday slate as always. So let's start it right up. Turkey Day, Thursday. As always, it gets started in Detroit. And this year, the Lions are hosting the hot Chicago Bears. Bears come in -4. 4-point road favorites in Detroit, total 45.5. Scott, what do you like?
I like the Lions at home. I think they are a better team at home. Impressive win against the Panthers. I am still not a Bears believer, even though in the season preview podcast, I did like them over 6, and one of my favorite bets was +350 on the Bears to make the playoffs, which is looking good. I still don't buy. I know they beat the Vikings on 2-point conversions and some really suspect decision-making by Kirk Cousins. I just feel like this is a spot here for the Lions. We're getting the 3 points. Getting more than 3 points. Right. I would lean that way. I feel like if it was Bears by 2.5, I would lean the other way.
I don't want you shortchanging that point.
Nope,
that could be a big one.
It could be.
Be a big one. Gary.
No, I also like the Lions. Short week for the Bears coming off a premier game for them. And I'm curious to see if the Bears can play from behind in one of these games. I'd like to see someone get out and jump on them, and I think there's a possibility of that happening with them traveling on the short week in the early game. I think this might be a tough spot for them.
I feel like every single week you two pick against the Bears, and then I say I like the Bears. Yeah. We're doing it again.
Yeah.
I like the Bears. I say it every week. They've got weapons all over. The offense does these weird things. It's not a traditional offense. And everything comes down to Trubisky on how he plays. I love the fact that the Lions won on Sunday because I think now there could be a little bit of a – they always play great on Thanksgiving. They're always amped up. But I like if they were coming off a loss, I'd be a little nervous. Then I think, okay, they want to – but that win against the Panthers, I think, makes me like the Bears even more. I don't think the Lions are good.
Interestingly, this will be the first time that Nagy's Bears have been tested against a team for a second time. Actually just played each other earlier this month. It was actually second time in 11 days.
And I'm not convinced Matt Patricia's the guy who's going to be able to figure out, oh, it's the second time, let me do this and this differently. He has shown he is out of his league as an NFL head coach with the media and – on the field.
That's what we're going to see in this one.
Yeah.
And I think if playing them for the second time in 11 days, they can't stop them better than they did when they played in middle of the month. I think that's a huge indictment against Patricia.
All right.
the Lions only beat Hall of Fame quarterbacks. So,
yeah.
No worries here.
And then everyone else, they stink. All right. Second game, well, you're stuffed up with your turkey or right about to eat it. Dallas, as always, second game on Thanksgiving. Cowboys. Hot people getting on the bandwagon, -7.5 against the Redskins, who will have Colt McCoy a quarterback, not Alex Smith. Cowboys -7.5 total 40.5. Gary.
Yeah, this number is just too big for me. I like Dallas. I've been saying Dallas is underrated the last couple weeks. When it comes to Colt McCoy, the Redskins don't have to change anything here. I mean, he's been in the system. You know, there are look, Sean McVay liked Colt McCoy as his backup because he can plug him in there and they can go win. His last win as a starter was at Dallas. That was a Dallas team that went 12-4 that season. Colt McCoy went in and beat them on a Monday night, the old Tony Romo Cowboys. So, yeah, you know, I think Dallas is going to win the game, but I think this is a close game. I think this is Dallas giving more than a touchdown is just too much.
I have to say, this has ruined my day today because when I was doing the line Sunday night and then I saw the Redskins were +9, I love them. They were going to be like my best bet of the week, +9. It's already on Monday gone down to 7.5. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it +9 because I actually don't think there's a big drop off with Colt McCoy and Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Alex Smith can throw a completed pass more than 5 yards this year. It was ridiculous. Scott, what do you like?
I agree 100% on what both of you guys are saying. A wise man said last week, and that was you, Jimmy, that the Redskins were getting no respect in that line against the Texans. They lost the game, but they covered. And that was a disrespectful line. This is a more disrespectful line.
And they shouldn't have lost the game. That was a terrible holding or pass interference there on Hopkins, but that's besides the point.
But it was interesting, right? It felt like once Colt McCoy got in the game and they were able to throw the ball down the field, they kind of caught the Texans a little bit off guard.
Right.
And yeah, I think it's way too many points here. I'll take the points. And the Cowboys, except for when they played the Jaguars, not a team that's blowing opponents out. Mm-hmm. So this is one where you take the points.
Oh, I wish that line was still 9. I would have went to town.
7.5 is still pretty rich.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of big lines, your Thanksgiving will wrap up in New Orleans. Hottest team in the NFL, best team in the NFL, I think, Saints, giving 13. They were my one win last week. Easy cover against the Eagles, giving 13 against the Falcons. Here's one of your monster totals, 59. Scott.
I like the Falcons here. I think this is a spot where you have familiarity within the division, and you look at what the Saints have done since the start of the 2014 season. At home in the division, there's been only one game that the Saints have won by double digits, and that was a game in 2017 against the Buccaneers. One game they've won by more than 10 points. So all the other wins against divisional opponents in that span there, and that's a span of 14 games, only once have they won by more than 10. It was against the Buccaneers. The teams in this division tend to play tight games. They're familiar with each other over the years, especially with a Peyton Breeze offense that's been there. This season, the only divisional game that the Saints have played at home was the one they lost in the opener to the Buccaneers. The other divisional game they played was on the road, an overtime game against these same Falcons. I just don't think the Saints are going to continue the role the way they've been doing in recent weeks against teams that are outside the division and don't see them as much. This is an awful lot of points for a divisional game, and I have a lot of respect for what the Saints have been doing, and it certainly wouldn't be shocking to see them roll again, but I think this is a spot here where they're going to be tested. They're going to win the game, but 13 points is way too many to lay here.
Gary.
Yeah, I hate this game. The number is probably too big for me, so I'd probably lean Atlanta. I mean, these are, you know, this is a team, a matchup that played two close games last year. They, had a similar, they met twice late in the season. Falcons won on a Thursday night at home, and Saints won by 10 in New Orleans later. I mean, look, Saints are running up big scores. They want to get Breeze that MVP award, and I guess we'll see what happens. But with very little confidence, I lean Atlanta in this matchup.
I love the Saints. This is not about numbers. This is not about anything other than what you see with your eyes. Rolling. Are they going to score 40-plus? Yes. That means they'll cover. Very simple. Love the Saints. Thanksgiving night. Next game, big line again. And this is one of the crappiest teams in the league, and it's an interesting game with the point spread. Ravens giving 11 with a rookie quarterback who's played one game, Lamar Jackson, to the Raiders, who are pathetic, coming off a win. The total here is 42.5. Good luck handicapping this one. Gary?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess the Ravens kind of caught Cincinnati off guard a little bit last week. Hugh Jackson didn't relay the message that Lamar Jackson can run the ball.
I mean, a rookie quarterback given 11. Fascinating.
A rookie quarterback who just rushed 27 times last week.
Can't throw if you want
to. Is he a quarterback? I mean, he's a rookie wildcat
guy. Well, he can't complete passes.
Right. Yep. So, I mean, that's the question. The fact that he is on tape now, I mean, there's no way the Raiders can possibly be caught off guard here. And look, Raiders are untalented, but they're not necessarily badly coached. I think they'll be fine in this one. I think they hang around in Baltimore, and this ends up being a, Justin Tucker kicks a 74-yarder as time expires to beat the Raiders.
Let's not give the Raiders that much credit. They're gonna keep it tied to the very to the whistle and then get a little bit of a field goal. Yeah, Scott.
Yeah, the way you hurt the Raiders is through the air, and the Ravens are not going to be able to hurt them through the air. That's where they're most vulnerable is in that secondary. I've got a betting system here of underdogs of more than 10 points, 11-4 against the spread since the start of 2009 when coming off a road win. I feel like this is far too many points in this game going against Lamar Jackson and this Ravens. Look, going into last week, the Bengals were statistically and with the eye test the worst defense in the league, and the Ravens squeaked by with a win in that one. Bengals had no A.J. Green. The Raiders are worse than the Bengals, but not that much worse than what the Bengals are right now on the road. I just feel like it's so many points, Lamar Jackson. I would even be tempted, you know, with how big the money line is, to just take a shot on
that.
Take
a flyer, yeah.
Yeah. But, I love the Raiders in this one.
I like the under in this game, 42.5. I don't – that Ravens defense is good, I think. So I don't see Oakland putting up a ton of points, and I don't think Lamar Jackson – if they're going to run every down, the clock's going to be chewed up. I like the under 42 in this one. But
yeah, I'm with you on the under, too, yeah. Jimmy.
We go to Buffalo. They're coming off a bye. They are home underdogs. The Jaguars come in -3 at Buffalo, total 37.5. That's as low as it gets for the 2018 season. Scott?
I'll go with the home team here. I'm not impressed by anything that I see with the Jaguars and the fact that they let that game get away after leading 16-0. It felt like the Steelers were trying to hand them that game. Nathan Peterman is no longer on the roster, so there's not even a risk of him coming into the game if another quarterback got hurt.
It's a very important factor.
I can't say I love the Bills here, but I would take the home underdog here. I just don't think either of these teams are very good. Shocking that this pig of a game, to borrow a term from Jimmy, this pig of a game is a rematch of a playoff game from last year. Can you believe that?
That is hard to believe.
It's less than 11 months ago, these
what
teams are playing
to the
in
Jaguars.
The playoffs. And yeah. Absolutely. So I would lean slightly Bills here, but not a game I'm going to be playing or watching.
Gary?
I was going to say rematch of the worst game of last year's postseason. Yeah, I lean slightly Jaguars. They couldn't block the Steelers. And I like the Bills' defense. I respect the Bills' defense. I don't think they quite have the talent up front that the Steelers have, and that's really what killed the Jaguars in this one. They couldn't function in the passing game because, one, Blake Bortles is a problem, but two, it was like the Giants' problem. It's if you can't block the other team at all, you can't get anything going in the passing game. So I think they can get enough done offensively in this game. They showed last week they can still dominate on defense. I did research Jaguars. Northern cities after November 1st, they've covered in their last five. So I'll lean Jacksonville here.
I'm with Scott. I'm not watching this game. I'm not playing this game. But even though it's really low, I like the under again. I think it's a little bit of a dangerous thing here where you can get burned maybe with a pick six or a couple of, sack fumbles in the red zone there. But this has got 13-10, 13-6, 13-10. Seven written all over
13-2.
Because it's all about defense in this game. Yeah, that would be nice if you bet the under. I would love that score. All right, Carolina coming off a loss. They are at home giving 3.5 to the Seahawks, who are one of the hotter teams in the NFL. The total here is 47.5. Gary?
Oh, boy, Panthers at home. I think you gotta like Carolina at home. I was sure that Thursday night loss to Pittsburgh was just a monster fluke, and I kind of want to say the loss at Detroit was a bit of a fluke too. They had to play from behind. They certainly didn't play well in that game, but if their kicker makes a 34-yard field goal and or a PAT, I should say, they win that straight up and potentially cover. So I'm going to go Carolina here. I have a feeling Scott likes Carolina a lot more than I do.
I should have asked this before we got either of you had the Panthers money line or in a parlay on Sunday.
No.
Just want to make sure. Nope. Take the knives away.
I was going to say, didn't throw whenever, anything through my television.
Whenever I see that, I
think
about the poor people who have the Panthers in a parlay or something like that. No. Gary, what do you got? Scott, what do you got here on the
I love Panthers the Panthers here. Much different team at home than they are on the road. They're 5-0 straight up at home this year, 4-1 against the spread at home. And one of my favorite trends of the last decade is Ron Rivera as Panthers head coach, 22-4 against the spread when coming off a road loss. Love the Panthers here.
I the Seahawks are playing so well that I'm a little nervous about this one for the Panthers. This would normally be such an easy one for me. I would say Carolina at home coming off a bad loss. You know, that game was in Pittsburgh, in Detroit. So, yeah, coming home now, you'd think they get it rolling. But the Seahawks are playing well. This would be a stay away from me. The Bengals at home are giving a field goal to the Browns coming off a bye week. Total 47.5. I'll go first on this one, and I'll make it very easy. I love the under this one. Scott?
You know, it's interesting, right, with Hugh Jackson on the Bengals staff. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, if he has any more use in the NFL, this is the week.
But they were happy with the defense yesterday, Sunday, giving up 400-plus yards. It was an improvement. So he was making a difference.
Yeah.
You're making fun of him, and they're giving up less yards.
I just wonder if the only reason they got him on this coaching staff at the time they did was to be like, okay, if we do nothing else for the rest of the year, let's please beat the Browns the two times we're going to be playing them. Because that would be an utter embarrassment, losing to the team in the division, the in-state team. And hopefully, you know, Hugh has all the secrets and insights on everybody. I'm surprised this line was as low as it is. I have to be honest with you. I felt like that this could be a line that's 5.5, 6 points.
Do we know what's up with A.J. Green? It's early in the week, so we might not.
Yeah,
it's a big factor. It's definitely a factor.
Yeah, it's a factor. You know, it might be the biggest factor among wide receivers in the league right now in terms of a guy being out and what the swing of a line would be. But it's still the Browns, and I know that they won the game at home against the Falcons before the bye week. But this team has been atrocious on the road. When's the last time, Gary, that they won a road game?
It was October 2015 was the last straight-up road win.
Yeah. It's not enough points. If I had to play the game, I would play the Bengals here. I might end up playing the game. I wouldn't put it in best bet category.
You like the Bengals.
I do like the Bengals.
All right, Gary?
Yeah, Hugh Jackson revenge game here. We laugh about Hugh Jackson. There's no way he can't present some sort of intel, some sort of edge for the Bengals in this game. And look, that is why they brought him in, to go 2-0 against the Browns, and that could swing the wild card race. The win over Atlanta was really the first time you saw what the Browns are trying to be going forward with Freddie Kitchens and with Greg Williams overseeing the team as a whole. It's smash mouth. It's two running backs. That is not the kind of stuff they were doing before they made the coaching change. So, yes, that was the second game under the new coaching staff, but Chiefs game, you know, the Chiefs got a lead. They had to abandon what they do and change things up a little bit there. This is I think the Bengals are going to win this game by a touchdown. I really do. That's really all I have. I mean, I think they got caught off guard by Lamar Jackson when they probably shouldn't have a week ago. And I think they're a better team at home. I think, like Scott said, I think this is more of a 4.5, 5 point spread.
I kind of like the Browns for a couple of reasons. One, coming off a bye, Greg Williams has now another week to get his imprint on the team. And they're coming off the good taste in that mess with the Falcons. And this season for the Browns has been a year of they got the first win after the losing streaks. And they need that first road win. This is a team I think they can do it against because I don't think the Bengals are really any good.
They will win on the road at some point. And I mean, we should
recognize
that.
It's got to happen. So I think this is where they maybe get off the schneid here.
I'm also, Jimmy, I'm with you on the under in this game.
I do like the under because I think the Browns' defense is underrated. And 47.5 is high. I'm not saying this isn't 13-6 territory like Jacksonville, Buffalo. But 47.5 is high. I'd go Browns and under here. I don't know, but I'm not going to say, you know, that's a must play. Rivalry game in the AFC East. The Patriots coming off a bye, so keep Bill Belichick off a bye, so be careful. 9.5-point favorites going into the, I was going to say Meadowlands. I think it's MetLife now, whatever it is. It's a dump in Jersey. Patriots minus 9.5 against the Jets. Total 46. Gary.
Yeah, I'll go Patriots in this one. Gronk's coming back, so they're whole again on offense. And look, they had the week off. They're 5-1 coming off the bye, coming off a bye that includes postseason since 2015. I like him to go in there and just blow out the Jets.
Scott.
Jets always seem to play the Patriots tough at home. They don't play them that well in Foxborough, but this is a lot of points for a Patriots team going in there. It just seems like, you know, the Todd Bowles teams, I do give them credit for how they've been able to kind of stand up for the Patriots when they're playing at MetLife. And because of that, I really am not comfortable taking the Patriots laying more than a touchdown.
I like the Patriots only because they're coming off the bye, and I think, you know, Belichick gets that time to prepare. Like Gary said, Gronk comes back another week for Sony Michel to get healthy. You're under the 10 points here, so I just think the Jets are done. McCown played so badly. Not a game I'd recommend, but I'd go Patriots just because they're the Patriots.
Just interestingly, yeah. Patriots off a bye, which is a little surprising because of how good the Patriots have been in recent years.
Right.
3-5-1 against the spread since the start of 2009. So
yeah, you'd think it'd be better.
Yeah, not atrocious, but right. You know, some losses in there, some straight up losses in there as well, coming off the bye, 3 straight up. So you know, 6-3 straight up. And 3-5-1 against the spread coming off the bye.
I'm going the recent trends. I'm going with the second half of the Obama administration and a little bit of Trump here. So,
no need for that name to be brought up on this podcast. The Eagles, speaking of disasters, Trump and the Eagles, we have Philadelphia -6 at home, still a big favorite. With the Giants coming to town, coming off 2 wins in a row for the Giants. Right?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Two wins in a 6-day span.
First win at home on Sunday. So the Eagles giving 6 to the Giants, total 46. Scott?
I do not know where to go in this game. The Eagles look utterly atrocious and lost. I'm not impressed with the Giants, even though they've won the last 2 games. It's been against the Buccaneers, a game they almost blew, and a game against the 49ers that could have gone either way down the stretch. If I had to play it, I would take the points in Philadelphia, but by no means am I confident in taking a Giants team in this spot getting less than 7 points.
Gary?
Yeah, you can't really be confident in the Eagles. I am going to lean Philly in this one. They have covered 3 the last 4 times. Giants have come to Philadelphia here. You just kind of wonder if the Eagles, they just have the right matchup here. What's the Giants' issue? They can't block. They just played the 2 worst pass rushes in football. Now you get an Eagles team. For all their problems, they still have a good front 4. I still think they're going to destroy Eli in this game like they did on that Thursday night matchup earlier this season. Yes, they are. You know, Philly's a disaster on the back end. Too many injuries. They're running out of a bunch of practice squad guys. I think the pass rush makes up for it this week. And then on top of that, I mean, Carson Wentz is—he had to force things in New Orleans. You know, everyone's going to see the final score, rightfully so. It was a complete mismatch, and they were terrible in that game. But you know, if it doesn't get away from them defensively, Wentz probably does not play that style of football where he's just having to force everything downfield constantly.
Yeah, I sort of look at it like throw out what happened Sunday in New Orleans. It almost doesn't count because the Saints are on such a roll, but the Eagles have so many injuries, especially on defense. They're so banged up, and that line is high with 6. I don't have any advice here on his side, but I do like the over 46. I could see some offense in this game. Not a great way to spend your Sunday afternoon if you are on the DirecTV and you come across this game. It is the Bucks minus 3.5 at home against the 49ers. How about this? The total in this one with the San Francisco 49ers, Nick Mullins, 55. Gary?
I know. That's kind of unbelievable, right? But yeah. Look, Bucks have put up – they put up 500 yards again last week and lost. They're 1-4.
Seems to be a pattern.
They're 1-4 when they put up 500 yards. It's
that
just,
is
it's unbelievable.
Magic. It is Fitzmagical
really is.
That you can keep putting up those kind of numbers and losing games.
Right, and now Winston is putting up the numbers. So everyone who was all about, you know, Fitzmagic, and now Winston's doing the same thing, so –
He's not turning the ball over the way Fitzmagic was.
And that's the thing. Like, for all of Winston's problems, look, when Fitzmagic is going well, he is a better quarterback for the system than Winston is. But, I mean, you can't play him anymore after what he did the last 2 weeks. So I'm taking my life into my own hands, going on tilt a little bit, and I'm going Bucks here. I feel good about the Bucks in this matchup. I'm also not buying Nick Mullins either. So you get Fitzpatrick, you take the turnovers out of the equation, get Jameis in there facing a team that has no pass rush, don't have a very good defense, and then I don't think San Francisco is going to score a lot of points in this one, despite the fact that the Bucks can't really stop anyone.
Scott?
I would lean Buccaneers here. Some bye week trends going against the 49ers. 2-11-1, both straight up and against the spread, coming off a bye since 2004. They have neither won nor covered their last six games coming off a bye since 2012. In the last 3 years coming off a bye, 49ers all double-digit losses.
I will be so tempted to bet that under at game time. I mean, 55.
It's a big number.
I get the Fitzmagic, Winston. I don't get it.
It's just 50, that they can't play defense.
I know. But 55. I have no. Listen, if I was going to give you a side, I'd go Tampa Bay just because they're at home, and I don't know. This is a gross game. That's all I have to say.
It's right. Really bad.
Yeah, it's bad. 4 o'clock now. Your Sunday shifts. The Chargers coming off a loss at home to Denver. At home with an asterisk because it's the Chargers. They're giving 11.5 points to Gary's Arizona Cardinals. I say that after they lose to the Raiders. The total here is 45, Scott.
It's too many points. Chargers are not blowing teams out at quote-unquote home. And this, it's just too many points. Chargers just 1-3 against the spread at home. They have yet to reach 30 points in a game at home. And because of that, laying double digits is just... it's just too many. If you want a betting system here, teams coming off an upset loss to a division rival, 2-10 against the spread since the start of 2016. I don't think the Cardinals have much of a chance to win this game outright, but I just don't think there's going to be enough points scored in this to consider that the Chargers could confidently cover this kind of a big spread.
Yeah.
I like the Chargers covering the spread. I know the number is big, and I know this is a disappointing development as far as Cardinals corner goes. But
how do they lose to the Raiders?
When Jermaine Gresham is going to go out there and pick up personal fouls when you're bleeding the clock, I mean, that's what the Cardinals do. Just a couple things on the Chargers' loss last week. I mean, right. Philip Rivers made a huge mental mistake at the end of the game. He also
Is that on him? Now, who calls for a pass play in that situation, him or the coach? The coach.
You trust your quarterback to do the right thing with
the ball.
Into
the ground?
Yes, Philip Rivers is your quarterback. You would put a certain amount of trust in him.
I still can't get over what I saw on that. Astonishingly bad.
It was. Look, I think that's more on the quarterback than the coach. Philip Rivers is wonderful, but your 15-year veteran out there has to know that, and he knows
but
that.
But it didn't look like he had anything on that play anyway. It would have been incomplete anyway, which is what the – I mean
– Yeah, he's got to just slide, just take a knee, give himself up, and just
keep
the clock running.
Okay. All right, yes, you got me there. That's actually 100% correct.
That's –
You're right.
That's why you're I right. might be the yes. next offensive coordinator of the yes. Chargers here.
You're right.
But yeah, I do like the Chargers in this one. Look, they won big twice against Oakland. They blew out Cleveland on the road. They beat the Bills by 11. I think they this is just one of those games where they beat up on a bad team, and the Cardinals. Cardinals still can't get anything going offensively, even though the play calling is better and basically everything they're doing is better. The offensive line is no good, and Joey Bosa's back. You saw what he did in the first half before he sort of ran out of gas a little bit. I think the Chargers do overwhelm the Cardinals in this one and cover the big number.
Yeah, I think the loss to the Broncos is actually a good thing if you want to bet the Chargers this week. It's like a little bit of a wake-up call in a way. The Arizona defense scares me a little bit because I do like Chandler Jones, and I think their defense tries, but I don't think offensively they'll be able to keep up with the Chargers here. So I do like the Chargers as well. Who would have thought we'd see the Colts as 10-point favorites this year? But they are at home against the Dolphins. Total 50.5. Yari.
Yeah, geez, this one's tough. I feel like my gut says that number is a little too big. We'll have to see what happens with the Dolphins quarterback situation. Nobody loves Ryan Tannehill, but I think he is in upgrade. Well, Harry, our producer, might love Ryan Tannehill, but we can all agree he is an upgrade over Brock Osweiler. I think getting him back is pretty helpful in that cause. I'm trying to figure out how much I like the Colts. Everyone likes the Colts at this point. They blew out the Titans last week in a game where Mariota got hurt, so you got Blaine Gabbert in the second
half.
They were
blowing
him out. Blowing him out.
Yeah, that
they
was.
But,
yeah.
But
ooh, we just
I mean,
double-teamed you hard there.
I was going to say.
Happy Thanksgiving, dude.
I have the Titans, so.
let me finish. Titans defensive coordinator, guy's hospitalized midway through the first half. That changes things. That changes things.
Is he playing?
No, but he is organizing that defense.
Is it a chicken and egg type? Become hospitalized because of what he was seeing on the field?
You need a defensive coordinator to tell you to guard T.Y. Hilton?
Colts didn't get it going until the second quarter. But all that said aside, look.
That is true.
Colts have been great. I lean Miami. I feel they can cover this number.
Scott?
Yeah, this is a tricky one, right? Because the Colts, 4-game win streak, right? Home against Buffalo, at Raiders, home against Jaguars, home against Titans, where right. Gary just said all this stuff. So when you kind of look beneath the surface a bit, maybe not as impressive as
well, home against
like
Miami, though, would fit right into that sequence.
Bingo. Absolutely. That's exactly where I was going here. And you look at what Miami has done on the road. Their last 4 games on the road, all double-digit losses, right? So all of a sudden, this number is probably right. If I had to play the game, I would take the Colts and I would lay the points.
Yeah.
And it has more to do with Miami and Miami on the road. Because let's be honest, before the bye, before the Dolphins had their bye, they were at Green Bay, lost that game by 19. I mean, that's a Green Bay team that really hasn't looked impressive against anybody else. Houston hasn't been blowing anybody out.
Right.
And the previous road game Miami played, they lost by 19 points. Like, there's a pattern here, right? A two-touchdown win by the Colts here is something in the ballpark of 31-17. That's what this game feels like.
Yeah, I think the Colts cover too. Just Andrew Luck is they cover because of Andrew Luck and the Dolphins not being good. Those two reasons. I don't have. That's my analysis on that game. I mean, they're playing well at home. Luck is back to Luck, and the Dolphins are just not good. The Steelers, this is the last 4 o'clock game of the day here. Steelers on the road in Denver. Pittsburgh, -3. Total, 47. Broncos coming off that win against the Chargers. Scott.
Broncos are playing better. 4-1 against the spread in their last 5. I like them at home. They're a better home team than our road team. I guess that was neutral site that they won against the Chargers because Chargers don't really have a home.
Right.
If you want a betting system here, underdogs of between 3.5 and 10 points. that have covered 3 of their last 4 games, 17-3 against the spread past the midway point of a season over the last 5 years. I like the Broncos here. I feel like they are a team that's been playing better lately. The home field advantage, home underdog. I'm leaning Denver.
Gary?
I'm leaning Pittsburgh in this one. I think the Steelers had their, you know, their occasional dud game that they have, and they ended up pulling it out in Jacksonville. You know, I think of what the Chargers did to the Broncos in the first half the other day, where it really, it was Bosa and Ingram was overwhelming the offensive line, and then I do think the Chargers kind of ran out of steam in that game, and maybe the same thing happens in the thin air, but the way the Steelers pass rush is playing at this point, I think they have a chance to completely dominate this game. But more than anything, look, we know the Steelers can score points. They can do it in a variety of ways. I think Roethlisberger had his nightmare game here, and they bounce back. And obviously, 3.5 is not a problematic number for them to cover.
I like the Broncos. I mean, no, you know, not to take credit away from the Steelers, they won that game because Doug Marrone has absolutely no clue how to coach an NFL football game. He's one of the worst game coaches in the NFL. And he lost that game for them yesterday by running Leonard Fournette dive middle on every down, basically, in the fourth quarter. So I think the Steelers now are due to get an L here. They're due for the L. Keep it up. Phillip Lindsay, guy's good, runs hard. And this has nothing to do with gambling, but I read a story about him today where he lives with his parents to save money because he was an undrafted.
Yep.
So I the guy is just one of these guys who's out there giving 1,000%. I think this is just a trip-up game here for the Steelers. I actually like the Broncos. Sunday night, NBC, once again, the Vikings get Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. They're giving 3.5 to the incoming Packers coming off a bye and a lot of infighting, supposedly, with Aaron Rodgers and, speaking of bad coaches, Mike McCarthy. Gary, total here 48, by the way, line 3.5.
Yeah, I was ready to jump on either one of these teams this week after what happened in week 11. Obviously, they're playing each other, so I'm not crazy about either side. I can't escape the fact that the Packers are just playing much, much better than the record reflects. You know, McCarthy kind of lost his mind punting in Seattle, but let's face it, they had to travel 2 time zones on a Thursday night, which is just absurd to ask any team to do that. And they showed up. They were ready to play. You know, they lost the game in the second half. Rodgers missed a couple open receivers. I don't know if you're going to sit here and say, you know, Aaron Rodgers is secretly bad. I don't think that's the case.
I will say this. He looks like a completely miserable human being during these games. I mean, there is never a smile, a laugh, a fist pump, a high five. He looks like he'd rather be anywhere but the football field during these games. He must hate Mike McCarthy with a burning passion because he looks miserable every
they've
week.
They've gone through these patches before, and this might be the breaking point. This might be it. And
body
that's why,
language is terrible.
That's why I can't feel great about saying Green Bay in this one. Even if Aaron Rodgers hates Mike McCarthy, which he might. I don't know. I don't know what the case is. But, I mean, going back to Minnesota after what happened to him last year, you figure if the guy's ever going to be motivated to just go out and destroy a team, right. I mean, this is his chance. This is the first time he's going to face the Vikings since that game last year. So I lean Green Bay. Again, I just think there was such an overreaction after they lost back-to-back to the Rams and Patriots. 2 games they very well could have won. I like the Vikings too, though. I think the Vikings are underrated as well, but I'll lean Green Bay in this one.
I don't have a lean because I would like to know beforehand if Mike McCarthy realizes Aaron Jones should get 20, 25 carries a game. If I knew they could do that, then I would bet the Packers. But I, you know, he decides he's, you know, there's a lot of talk about Aaron Jones, and then they throw the ball 50 times and he gets 10 carries and they lose.
I'll just say one more thing. Yeah. Jason Garrett took so much flack, rightfully so, for that punt in Houston on that Sunday night game. Garrett has been super aggressive on fourth down since then.
Right.
And, I mean, it's 2018. That's how you win games in the NFL. Maybe McCarthy gets the message now. Maybe
it's so funny how weird NFL coaches are. Like, they don't realize, like, yes, 4th-and-1 from the 50, the 45, go for it. But then you saw 2 coaches this year go to 2-point conversions to win games with Rivera and Vrabel instead of kicking the that's where you, relax with the aggressiveness. Scott, Green Bay, Minnesota, Vikings minus 3.5.
I would lean to the Vikings in this one. You look at what the Packers have done in recent weeks, right? They're 2-4 straight up in their last six. Let's give them 3-4 in their last seven. Here are their wins: home against the Bills, home against the 49ers, home against the Dolphins. On the road, lost to Detroit, lost to the Rams, lost to the Patriots, lost to the Seahawks.
Should have beaten the Rams, though. That fumble.
Should have beaten the Rams. Could have beaten the Patriots. Should have beaten the Seahawks.
Right.
That's where
if you
want
to play that game, could have lost at home to the 49ers. Yeah. They won the game by three on a Monday night.
That is true.
You know, it's a team that, look, it's a tough game to call given this number of points. But if I had to play it, I would play the Vikings. But because of all the uncertainty we're talking about, I think it makes it very difficult to call this game.
Yeah, I don't have a play here at all on side, but over 48 would be nice, I think, for a little wager. The Monday night game is the Titans at the Texans. We're not going to do anything on it because there's no line. It's off the board because of the Tennessee quarterback situation with Mariota hurt. God help us all if we have to watch Blaine Gabbert on a Monday night.
He's got a great mustache. But I don't know if you saw that.
I when he comes in the game, I usually change the channel. It's usually my rule. But listen, whether it's Gabbert or Mariota, I'm sure it'll be like Houston getting a lucky win like they do every week and squeaking something out because somebody missed a field goal or some weird two-point conversion, because that's how they seem to win all their games. So that is what we got here for Thanksgiving week, week 12 in the NFL. It is now time for Best Bets. All right, let's get it rolling. Three games on Thursday this week with Thanksgiving, and then we have the full slate Sunday. Best bets, Scott.
I am going with the Oakland Raiders getting 11.5.
My whistle was terrible. Let me try it again. Okay.
Better.
Who would have thought we'd have the Raiders kick off a Best Bets segment? Love it.
I can't believe they're getting double digits against Lamar Jackson. It just, I think you have to take all those points there. I'm taking Carolina. Carolina's laying 3.5 at home against Seattle. Been a much better team at home. And I am going with a home dog in Denver. I am taking the Denver Broncos, and I'm taking the 3.5
plus
there.
Plus three against
three
against the Steelers.
Three, yes.
Gary?
I really want the hook. I've got three totals as well.
Oh, boy.
I'm going under in the Patriots-Jets game. I'm going over in Seattle.
That was 46, by the way.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Over in Seattle, Carolina.
47.5.
And over in Miami, Indianapolis.
50.5. I like that one, too. All right. Gary?
So we're getting three on the Steelers in this one?
Three.
Okay.
I'll double check it. I could have easily made a mistake here.
If you want the Steelers, you get a three. I'll take the Broncos.
The line is three. Three.
All right. I was going to take the Steelers regardless. I had 3.5, but obviously I will take them as
you both have three.
Minus three.
A little head to head.
That'll be my first of four sides
here. I'm seeing 3.5 right here.
Yeah.
All right, you guys can duke it out.
All right.
I'll take it at
3.25.
I'll take it at 3.5. I was going to take it at 3.5, so I'll say I'm taking the Steelers at 3.5 here. Minus 3.5. I'm taking the Bengals at minus 3. I'm taking Washington on Thanksgiving Day plus 7.5. And if you guys were better friends, you'd stop me from doing this, but I'm taking Tampa again as a best bet.
I thought you were going to say Arizona.
No. I'm not even picking Arizona this week. Tampa minus 3.5 against San Francisco. My two totals, both under in that Cleveland-Cincinnati game, 47.5, and under 42.5 in Oakland-Baltimore.
I like both of those unders. I'm going to do something you're never supposed to do. I'm going to give you three best bets. And I'm going to break the Cardinals in here and give you all favorites, all huge. New Orleans minus 13. That'll be easy. Chargers minus 11.5. Bounce back. Colts minus 10. Those three for me. Week 12.
Jimmy, you going to stick those in a teaser maybe? Tease them
definitely
down?
Not the Saints.
I guess the Saints is a different day, so you wouldn't
No, but even if it was on Sunday, they're going to that will be easy. Maybe the Colts in a teaser, possibly. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I like them straight up. So that's those are the best bets for Thanksgiving week. Everyone enjoy your turkey and your football on Thursday. Back to the regular schedule next week on Friday with our usual slot here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Have a great week and happy Thanksgiving.
Have a profitable holiday weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.